Speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
What we're looking at today is what Jesus taught about salvation. And all these comments that have been made about the liquor, about the drink, about the evils of alcohol, and the evils that go along with gambling, is the fact that people were created by God to, in His mind, to please Him, to bring honor to Him, and to help others to be in a right relationship with Him. And as we look at what Jesus said about salvation, we see that Jesus wants salvation for all who will obey Him. He said in Matthew 7, verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." And very simply and very pointedly, in Luke chapter 6, verse 46, He said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Now this expression, Lord, Lord, indicates prayer on the part of the person. So our Lord is as much as saying that we must do more than pray for salvation. We must do the will of the Father who is in heaven. And again in Luke 6, 47 through verse 49, He tells us that everyone who comes to Him and hears His word and obeys them is like the man who builds his house upon a good foundation rock. It will stand the storms, but the one who hears His word but does not obey them is like the man who's foolish and built his house upon the sand. So what our Lord says about salvation, it's for all those who will obey. And He says more than sincerity is demanded. In Matthew 27, verse 22 and verse 23, He tells us that in the day of judgment, some will argue with Him that they prophesied in His name, and they did many mighty works in His name, but He will say unto them, "I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity." We cannot question the sincerity of those people who on the day of judgment will argue that they are entitled to salvation because of the mighty works that they have done. They were among those who were willing to say, "Lord, Lord," but they were not willing to do the will of the Father who's in heaven. They wanted to do good works in their own way and for their own purposes, but Jesus did not approve of their works, and sadly, they will be lost in judgment. We learn further that in Jesus' teaching regarding salvation, that childlikeness is required. In Matthew 18, the first four verses, and Matthew 19, verse 13 through 15, we learn that Jesus teaches us that we must become like little children if we expect to enter the kingdom of God. In a previous verse, we notice that entering the kingdom of heaven is equal to being saved when one experiences a new birth. And if people want to be saved, they must become like little children. This means they must be humble, they must be trusting, they must be teachable, they must be willing to overlook injuries. They must be obedient, and above all, it means that if we expect to have salvation in the kingdom of God, we must be obedient to our Heavenly Father, and we must believe. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, we learn that without faith, it's impossible to be well-pleasing to God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that seek after him. In John 8, 24, Jesus said, "Except ye believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." And in John 3, verse 36, "He that believeth on the Son hath eternal life, but he that obeyeth not the Son shall not see life. But he that obeyeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." And in Mark 16, 16, we learn that those who believe and are baptized shall be saved. So from these passages, we learn that those who are willing to believe in Jesus as the Son of God may have salvation, but those who disbelieve are going to be condemned. So what our Lord teaches regarding salvation is that there must be a childlikeness. He teaches that salvation is for those who are more than just sincere, those who will do more than just pray, but those who will believe, but more than that, those who will repent. In Luke 13, verse 3, Jesus said, "Except ye repent, ye shall all in like manner perish." And in Acts 17:30, we learn that God has commanded everywhere, everyone, to repent. Well, what does it mean to repent? It means that we quit our sins, that we turn to God, that we turn to God with a determination to do right. People who are not willing to quit their sins cannot be saved. Repentance, as applied to the alien sinner, means that we must turn away from Satan. We must refuse to be servants of Satan any longer. And then we turn our faces toward God with the determination not to look back. We must be willing to give up all our sins and turn wholeheartedly to God. But furthermore, in his teaching concerning salvation, he says that we must confess Christ before men. In Matthew 10, verse 32 and verse 33, Jesus had this to say, "Everyone, therefore, who shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Now what Jesus represents here is himself as the doorkeeper to the Father's mansion, and that he will admit those to the feast who are worthy to enter. Those whom he confesses will be privileged to enter the mansion and enjoy the feast. Those whom he denies will be counted unworthy and will be forbidden to enter the mansion. And Jesus says he will confess and allow to enter in those who have confessed him here on earth, and those who refuse will be denied. In Romans 10, verse 9, by inspiration, Paul teaches the necessity of confession by saying, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Now these passages teach us as plainly as possible that one who expects to be saved must be willing to confess Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God. And we should notice also that this is not a confession of sin, but a confession of Jesus as the Christ, confessing that Jesus is the Son of God. And in our Lord's teaching regarding salvation, we learn that baptism plays a very significant role. For in Matthew 28, verse 19, Jesus teaches that we are to be baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And in Mark 16:16, we read that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. We know the apostles understood Jesus to teach that baptism is a condition of salvation, because when people ask what to do to be saved, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Acts 2, verse 38. The apostle Paul understood that baptism is a condition for forgiveness of sins. He taught in Romans 6, verse 3 and 4, that we are baptized into Christ. In Ephesians 1, verse 7, he tells us that it's in Christ that we have our redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of our sins. If we have redemption in Christ, we are baptized into Christ, and all new creatures are in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, it follows that we must be baptized to get into Christ. And that once we do that, we have redemption through the blood of Christ. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 10, Paul says that we have salvation in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And if we're baptized into Christ and we attain salvation in Christ, it follows that to obtain that salvation, we must be in Christ. And the only way to get in is through our faith of being baptized into Christ. Well, in our Lord's teaching about salvation, he says that salvation is for the faithful. Pride hinders a lot of people from having salvation. They are too proud to obey the simple commandments that Jesus gives in the gospel. They say they can see no sense in being baptized. They can see no scientific connection between baptism and the remission of sins. And so sadly, the pride of many people caused them to refuse to be baptized for the remission of sins. But we exercise faith when we cannot see. The fact that we cannot see a scientific connection between baptism and the remission of sins makes it possible for us to exercise our faith that God will forgive us when we have the faith to obey his commands. Jesus says that tribulation and persecution will keep some people from being saved, Matthew 24, verse 9 and 10. If one is not willing to turn away, even from father and mother, or from lands and property of all kinds, in order to accept Christ, he's not worthy of Christ and cannot be his disciple. And then unfaithfulness will cause some to lose salvation. The promise of salvation is for the faithful. After naming several hindrances to salvation in Matthew 24, verse 9 through 12, Jesus had this to say, "But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved." And in Revelation 2:10, John tells us that Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life." In Revelation 2:17, we're told that the ones who overcome will be given the right to enter heaven. Salvation, then, is for those who continue faithful unto death. Jesus has much to say about salvation, and it's so important that we believe the words of Christ, that we be obedient and we submit to his instructions if we want that salvation and eternal glory.